Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, the city of Kyiv was among the first cities to be shelled following the invasion of Ukraine on February 24th. Since then, nearly 200 civilians are reported to have been killed, and the city has been under curfew for much of that time. Following peace talks this week in Istanbul, Russia signalled it would significantly cut back its military activity in northern Ukraine. But what has happened since? Well, we're joined now by Konstantin Uzov, who is Deputy Mayor of Kyiv. And you're very welcome, Konstantin, to the programme this evening. Thank you for joining us. We might just talk a little bit about your city before this war and what kind of city it was.
Good evening. It's very good to be with you, Dublin. Kyiv is a beautiful city of almost 500 churches, of 3 million peaceful people who work, who produce, who are very European, English-speaking. It's a beautiful city, and I always thought that it was in some way undiscovered by the world. And it's very pity, it's dramatic that now world follows all those events and seeing all those pictures of my country and the capital of its country, of this country, in a way I've never imagined. Indeed, we have more than 200 casualties, which is a lot. Some of them are children, completely innocent. This city is now very heavily protected. The militia, the territorial defense is immense. It's huge. The regular forces are here, making it a real fortress. And now we hear those news from Russians that they are going to withdraw from Kyiv borders, which we, of course, do not believe.
Because there was some very, very small tentative hope when that news emerged earlier this week when Russia said it was going to withdraw. But no evidence really of that happening, is there? Or what has been happening on the ground?
We can confirm that during last night, they've withdrawn over 700 armored vehicles. We cannot confirm any number in terms of a personnel. But you know what they say about Russian army? What our military say about Russian army? They say it's just there are so many of them. You cannot count them. With this regard, 700 armored vehicle looks more like an effort for regrouping, for maybe revitalizing their troops, sending someone to recover and maybe to change shifts. I have to tell you that we do not believe words. Of course, diplomacy has to work. But since February 24, when more than 100 rockets were launched in our direction, we think that diplomacy somehow lost its real and traditional value. So we of course follow what our military say, and they say that probably all those maneuvers might be aimed at reinforcing Russian grouping in other parts of their line of offense, for example, southern line or eastern line.
Okay, but there may be some reprieve then, even in the short term for Kyiv. Can you tell me what is the military situation in the city? I know many citizens have joined the territorial army, many people who had no military experience at all. How have they coped?
The military situation was described when I told you that a lot of men who stayed in the city and who took their families to the border with EU, as for example, I did. A lot of men who stayed joined the territorial defense, picked arms, some of them first time in their life. And now, you know what's going on now? It's very difficult to get into a territorial defense. You have to stay in lines. Now we have online queues for getting in, and you gotta wait for a week or 10 days before you will be invited for recruiting. which is impossible. You can imagine hundreds of thousands of men who are staying in lines just to get a chance to defend their city. We have a curfew, which is quite strict. Our curfew is from 9 p.m. till 7 a.m. It is directly connected to the first week of war, when we had hundreds, literally hundreds of armed saboteurs, Russian citizens, activated. They were deployed here as peaceful tourist visitors in December of 2021. They rented some apartments here, and on the day 24, they just went out on the streets with arms, trying to aim some very important infrastructure units, some government buildings, some areas like airports, airfields, and others. That's why our curfew is quite strict.
Okay. So those people were in the city waiting for the war to happen. That's what you believe?
Nobody's waiting. Everybody's building lines of defenses.
No, sorry. The Russians that you're talking about that came to the city in December, they were sent to the city in December in advance of the beginning of the war.
Sure.
Right, okay.
Yeah, sure. To wait and to join forces, to meet some forces that were coming from north. I think the original plan was that Russian tanks would be here in Kyiv in 5 to 6 hours, because it's something like 150 kilometers towards the Belarus border from Kyiv, and tank goes with the speed of 60 kilometers per hour, and they were here to meet them. And afterwards, they were destroyed, all of them, hundreds of them. Nobody, by the way, is collecting their bodies still. We treat them with all respect and in complete accordance to Geneva Convention and to all other international provisions. So Kyiv is not just waiting. Kyiv is heavily defended.
And why is nobody collecting their bodies?
It's a question we should address to Mr. Putin and his morale. Why do they actually get a mobile crematoriums with them as part of their regular forces? Why do they do this? They are not requesting their soldiers' corpses to be collected.
Okay.
We send messages about being ready to treat their occupants with respect they probably do not deserve, because we see Ukraine as a European country with European future.
What about civilian deaths then? I know, as you said, your city has experienced a severe death toll already. And what happens when you try to retrieve civilian bodies? Are there any difficulties there?
Sure. Let me tell you that the true defense of Kyiv is now laying in Kyiv region, our suburbs, an agglomeration, an area with a radius of 80 kilometers around the capital. There are cities of Bucha, Irpin, that are now named as hero cities by the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. They took the first hit. They took the second hit and the next one. Some of those very peaceful, even recreational cities are completely put into the ground. And when now our military is able to move the line of defense forward, pushing Russians back, and when we see quantity of civilians, of casualties, just lying on the streets, we of course try to manage the situation, to collect them and identify them. And do you know what we encounter? We have a lot of casualties among our doctors, because while retrieving, Russians actually mined corpses of civilians. They put bombs under them, as well as they put some small and very smart plastic bombs inside a document. You can imagine a street with no buildings that are preserved, and some documents laying on the ground near bodies, and both bodies and documents are mined.
So you've seen evidence of people getting injured then in trying to retrieve dead civilians?
It actually happened to one of the mayors of minor cities in Kyiv region, which is called Hostomel. Hostomel is now very famous because it was the first place where airborne troops of Russia tried to make their way to gain control over the runway, to have more of their own coming with planes. Mm. It was a fight. It was a fight of more than 3 days. And the mayor of Hostomel, while Hostomel was already under siege, tried to distribute some humanitarian aid among the dwellers of the city. And he was put down by a sniper. The first bullet was aimed to his leg. Then after help came, they put down other people. And when, after some horizontal negotiations, a religious person, a representative of Ukrainian church, was allowed to get to collect the mayor to our territory. He found out that his body was mined too.
Was mined, all right. Just very briefly, Constantine, before we let you go, you mentioned your own family and saying goodbye to them on the border. How are they?
My family safely under temporary protection of EU. I'm very grateful to Europe for that. And there are so many men like me who were not able to follow their families, and who felt that energy and that sincere will to stay and to defend, that I think the whole Europe and the whole world should be proud of Ukraine and what it's doing for all the values that we share.
Constantine, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us this evening. That's Constantine Uzov, who's deputy mayor of Kyiv. Thank you. We'll take a break.